There was a time in the life of the Lord Jesus when they sent guards to him to capture him and to bring him back to the chief priests and the Pharisees. And when those guards came to him and heard him speak, they came back to the chief priests and the Pharisees, but they didn't come back with the Lord Jesus. And when they were asked, "Why is it that you didn't bring him back with you?" this is what they said. They said, "Never a man spake like this man before." Another time the Lord Jesus was speaking, and it says that they marveled that he spoke with authority, not as the scribes. And another time the Lord Jesus was speaking, and it says that the people said of him that they had never heard such words of graciousness as he had spoken. And this morning I'd like to speak about one little word that the Lord Jesus said. "He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." And it's amazing how a word which was spoken more than 2,000 years ago could be still living and powerful today. A word which was spoken, it wasn't spoken by just a man. A word which was spoken by the Son of God Himself today can be so relevant and can bring so much peace to the souls of troubled men and women. "He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." There was a man, a very godly man, and he had served God for many years and been a very faithful servant. And he was on his deathbed. And as he was on his deathbed, those who were around him said to him, "You've been a wonderful Christian. You've been an example to us all, and you've served the Lord Jesus faithfully for many years. You must be very confident that you're going to go to heaven." And the man said, "If that was what my confidence is based on, then I'm not confident at all." They said to him, "What do you mean? You've served the Lord Jesus and you've preached many a good sermon." He said, "If that was what I was depending upon, then I'd be lost forever." And then this is what he said. He said, "Upon this and this only my soul rests for all of eternity, that he who cannot lie said that he who comes to me I will in no wise cast out." Why is it that someone would come to the Lord Jesus? And that's the question we need to ask. What would cause someone to come to the Lord Jesus? To feel as though that the Lord Jesus Christ is the solution to their problem. Well, the Lord Jesus said himself, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden." It's those who are burdened, those who are weary, those who are heavy laden that come to him. Those that feel their need for him. This morning I'd just like to speak about three characters, three people that we read of in the Gospels that came to the Lord Jesus. They came to him just as they were. They came to him and probably no one else in all of society would have accepted them. But they came to him. And according to his promise, he didn't turn them away. He didn't cast them out. But he received them. And the reason why I read the verse from Hebrews is just to assure our hearts of this, that we can change. That I can tell you one day that I'm going to do something, and I might do it for you on that day, but you might come to me another day and I've changed all of a sudden, and I don't do the same thing. But the Lord Jesus Christ, He never changes. And if He never turned anyone away while He was here on the earth, then we can be assured that even today, this morning, He will never turn anyone away that comes to Him, because He never changes. The first man we read of in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 2. And I'll just read the verses to you. "And there came a leper to him," verse 40, "there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. This first man that came to the Lord Jesus, he was a leper. And he had a terrible skin disease, which in that day was incurable. A disease which would make you completely an outcast from society. A disease that sometimes would be so serious that you would even lose the fingers from your hands and the toes from your feet. That the flesh would eat itself up. He was a leper. He was a complete outcast of society. In those days, if you were a leper, then you had to live separately on your own. And every time someone approached you, you had to yell out, "Unclean, unclean." So this man had a problem. His problem was that he was unclean. As soon as he's walking on the street, someone comes very close to him, he has to say, "I'm unclean." And as soon as that person would hear that this man was unclean, he'd make sure he got as far away from this man as he could. He was unclean. He had a disease, and that disease was incurable. And he came to the Lord Jesus. He came to him just as he was. Can we make any application to ourselves? Can we say, well, that's just a nice story of a man that had a disease and came to the Lord Jesus? In the Bible, we find that we ourselves, that every single person in this room is in just the same position as this man. You say, what do you mean? I don't have any disease in my skin, which is eating me alive. If I did, well then I'd be very anxious to find a cure as soon as I could. And if there was a cure, then I'd make sure that I expended all of my efforts and all of my energy to try and avail myself of that cure. But I'm glad that I don't have such a disease as that. Well, the Bible tells us that there is a disease that has affected every single person in this room. And that's the disease of sin. And just like this man was completely unclean because of the disease that he had, we likewise, in God's sight, are unclean. Or in other words, unacceptable to God. That in our own selves, we are unacceptable to God. Now these are very straightforward words. And these are very, very clear words. And when the Lord Jesus came to this earth, He was like that light. And when the light came in, it completely exposed all that was contrary to Him. Disease, which leaves someone completely unclean. But also, this disease was incurable. In other words, there was nothing that this man could have done to improve his condition. Does the Bible say anything about that? Says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But another way of putting it is this: the heart is deceitful above all things and incurably wicked. That those who are affected by the disease of sin, not only are they completely unacceptable to God, not only are they so unclean that they cannot come into His presence, but there's nothing that they can do to improve their condition. You say, well, that's not me. I'm not like that. Maybe the people outside, the people that waste away all their money and health on drugs, maybe those who abuse their members of their family, maybe those words apply to them. This is what the Word of God says. There is no difference. There is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I wonder if you can take this man and put yourself in his shoes. He came to the Lord Jesus. He came just as he was. And he said to the Lord Jesus, "If thou wilt, if you're willing, you can make me clean." And this man, he was sure that the Lord Jesus could cleanse him. He has no doubt in his power. But what he doubted was his love. It was as though he was saying, no one wants to even come near me. Every time someone sees me, they want to get as far away from me as possible. There's no one in this world that's even interested in me. Could it be possible that you would be interested in me, Lord? I know that you can heal me. But are you interested in me? I think that what the Lord Jesus did was wonderful. You know what he could have done? He could have just said, be thou cleansed. He could have looked at this leper and said, you be clean. And the leper would have been cleansed. And the leper would have gone away rejoicing. But you know what the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus did to that leper? It says he put forth his hand and touched him. It's as though the Lord Jesus was trying to reassure him that he was interested in him. That man was precious to the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus touched him. Probably that man hadn't been touched for years. No one would have even come close to him, let alone touch him. But the Lord Jesus stretched forth his hand and touched him. You know what that tells me? That tells me that there's no one too unclean for the Lord. There's no one that will come to the Lord Jesus just as they are, confessing that they're full of disease, confessing that they're completely unacceptable, that the Lord Jesus will turn away. And the Lord Jesus didn't turn away this man. And he won't turn away anyone in this room that comes to him and says, my heart is deceitful above all things. I may fool everyone else. I may trick everyone else into thinking that I'm a good and noble person. But I know my own heart. I know that my heart is deceitful above all things. If each of us were to have some kind of magical cord placed and connected to our brains, and all of the thoughts that pass through our mind would be displayed on this screen, who would volunteer to have that done? None of us would. Because deep down within all of us there's a consciousness that we've sinned. And deep down in all of us there's a knowledge that we seem good to others but not good in our own souls. Just like this man. But we'll move on to the second person. It's in John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, there was a woman that came to the Lord Jesus. And it was a woman that was taken in the midst of adultery. It says in John chapter 8 and verse 2, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped with his finger, wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw no one but the woman, he saith unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. The first man came to the Lord Jesus, and his problem was that he was unclean. This woman's problem was that she was condemned. She had been caught in adultery, caught in the very act. She had no excuse, no way out. And according to the law which was instituted by God, she should be stoned. And these Pharisees, these religious men, they came and they brought this woman And they had no heart towards her whatsoever. They didn't care about bringing a woman. And it says, in front of all the people, throw her down at the dust. Just to satisfy their own pride. Just because they had found someone that was worse than themselves, to make themselves feel good about themselves. And they brought her to the Lord Jesus. She was condemned. And they thought that they had the Lord Jesus in a predicament. They thought that they had placed him in a problem which he couldn't solve. And they said, Moses, according to the law, says that such a one should be stoned. And they were absolutely right. But they say to the Lord Jesus, it's as though they're trying to say, but here you are talking about love, being a savior, so you've got a problem. Your love says that you want to let this woman go. But justice says that she can't go free. And they thought that either way, that whatever he said, he would have been stuck. If he said, well, she should go free, then they would have said, well, then you're telling us to forsake the law of God. But if the Lord Jesus said to them, well, the law says that she should be stoned, then they would have said, well, what about your love? And they thought that they had him in a problem. And probably there would have been no lawyer alive in this whole world that would have been able to let this woman go free. But the Lord Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. What does that mean? How is it that the Lord Jesus could solve that seemingly huge problem? How could he make the justice of God and the love of God combine perfectly together and still let that woman go free? I like what it says here. It says he stooped down. He stooped down. You know what the Lord Jesus, what the solution that he offered? The solution that he could uphold the law of God completely, but still let the sinner go free, is that he stooped down. And he came all the way from heaven, all the way to earth. And he who was in the form of God and considered it not robbery to be equal with God emptied himself and made himself of no reputation. And he stooped down even further than that. He humbled himself and he went to the cross. You know why this woman, I'll ask a question, was her sin condemned? Her sin was condemned. Did she go free? She went free. Where was her sin condemned? On the cross. When the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, he bore her sin in his own body on the tree. So that God's law could be completely maintained, but she could go free. She came to him just as she was, and he didn't turn her back. Someone says that if you're caught in a fire, if you're in a field, and there's a fire approaching you, the worst thing that you can do is try and run from that fire. Most likely, it'll overtake you and you'll be burned. But if you're caught in that situation where you're in a field full of grass and there's a fire approaching you, then there's one thing that you can do to guarantee your safety. You know what it is? Find the piece of grass that the fire has already passed over. Find the piece of grass which has been burnt and stand on that piece of grass. And when you stand on that piece of grass, because the fire has already passed over it, then you'll be safe. That's like the Lord Jesus. He passed through the fire of God's judgment. He said, my tongue cleaveth to my jaw. He said, my heart is melted like wax within me. And he went to the cross and he bore the sins of many. And if you rest in him, if you rest in him, then you'll be saved. But there's one more person that I'd like to speak about. He's in Luke chapter 23, and I'm almost finished. Luke chapter 23. Another person that came to the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus didn't turn him away. Luke 23 and verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." We saw that the first man came to the Lord Jesus, and his problem was that he was unclean. And the Lord Jesus didn't turn him away. And we saw that there was a woman that came to the Lord Jesus, and her problem was that she was condemned. And the Lord Jesus didn't turn her away. And this man, what was his problem? You know what his problem was? He was about to enter into eternity. There's a very interesting thing about this man which a lot of people don't know. In Matthew's Gospel, it tells us that this very same man was reviling the Lord Jesus and swearing at him and mocking him just a few hours before. Many times when we read the story, we think of it as though there was only one of them. As we know, the Lord Jesus was crucified between two robbers. And we always picture in our minds that there was only one of them that was reviling him and persecuting him. And the other one, well, all the while he was looking for salvation. But it wasn't so. At the beginning, both of them were swearing at the Lord Jesus. But what was it that made this man change his mind? What was it that just in a short space of time, this man, instead of being careless, became very anxious? I think it was two things. The first thing is that he realized he was about to pass into eternity. And it's amazing how men who are so proud and men who are so boastful, men who pretend to be afraid of nothing, but put them before death, and you see the change in that man. Put them before the last enemy, and that man all of a sudden becomes very anxious, just like this man. And I'd like to speak to everyone here today. No one knows what will happen tomorrow. And not a single person, beginning from the one speaking to you, can guarantee that he'll be alive this time tomorrow. The question that I have for you is, are you prepared? Are you ready to pass through death and to pass into eternity? This man realized that he wasn't ready. He became very anxious. He became very troubled. And I met a girl that was just the same. She was very young. But when she heard the gospel, when she heard that if she died without the Lord Jesus Christ as her own Savior, she would be in hell, she became very scared. And she became so scared, she told me this, that when she would drive, if the speed limit was 60, she would drive at 30. The speed limit was 100, she would drive at 70. She was so scared that she would have an accident, that she would pass into eternity without God and without hope. But the second thing that touched this man's heart, I believe, was the Lord's love. This man would have seen the Lord Jesus suffering. He would have seen that the face of the Lord Jesus was marred more than any man. He would have seen that his feet and his hands had nails driven through them. He would have seen a crown of thorns pressed into his head and blood dripping from his face mixed with spit. He would have seen that all. And he would have seen that the Lord Jesus was completely silent through it all. That he was as a lamb which was led to the slaughter. He opened not his mouth. And then this man who was near the Lord Jesus all of a sudden would have seen that the Lord Jesus was about to say something. The first thing out of the seven which the Lord Jesus said from the cross. And this man looked down at the Jews and he saw them laughing at the Lord Jesus and mocking him. And even the worst of criminals, even the worst of criminals doesn't die a death like that today. Even the worst of criminals has the dignity of being executed if they are, without anyone mocking them, without anyone laughing at them, but not him. And then this man would have said, well, he's about to say something. What's he going to say? And the Lord Jesus opens his mouth and this is what he says. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And this man, he probably would have thought to himself, well, if the Lord Jesus can forgive them, if he could ask for their forgiveness, maybe he can forgive me. And this man turned to the Lord Jesus. And he said, Lord, remember me. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And I'd like to ask a question. It's a very simple question. And it's a very straightforward question. But I hope that you will answer it honestly. Did this man have any good works to offer the Lord Jesus? None whatsoever. Was this man baptized? No. Had this man ever stepped foot in a church in his whole life? No. Could this man look down to his past and say, Lord, remember me because I've done something which is worthy of your remembrance? Nothing. Or could this man look forward to his future and say, Lord, remember me because I promise you I'm going to change my ways and I'm going to really repent and I'm going to live the right way? Could he say any of those things? He couldn't. He was about to die. He couldn't claim any of his goodness. He couldn't promise anything in the future. All that this man did was completely cast himself upon the mercy of God. All this man did was completely put all his hope in the grace of the Lord Jesus. And he was saved. What are you trusting in to take you to heaven? I tell you, if you're trusting in the grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus, if you're trusting that He died for you and bore your sins, then you're going. But if you're trusting in anything in your own self, if you're trusting in your prayers, your church attendance, the depths of your repentance, you'll be lost forever. You're standing on sinking sand. But I like the words of that hymn which says, I want no other argument, I seek no other plea. It is enough that Jesus came and died and that He died for me. The one that speaks to you, I know I'm going to heaven. Not because of any goodness in myself. Not because of any righteousness which I have. I don't have any. Not because I'm baptized or because I've gone to church. But just simply because of this, that there was one who loved me. He died in my place. He died for me. The Lord Jesus said, He who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. And you know what that means? That means if you're here this morning and you're not saved, you're not 100% sure that you're going to heaven, it's not because the Lord Jesus doesn't want to save you. He wants to save you. He'd love to save you. It's because you yourself refuse to come to Him. You yourself refuse to come to Him just as you are, claiming no goodness of your own, just trusting in Him. There were two thieves, one on the left and one on the right. Someone said that there was one that received the Lord Jesus that no one might despair, but there was one that refused the Lord Jesus that none might presume. And there was one that kept his pride but lost his soul. But there was one that let go of all of his pride. And the first person that entered into paradise after the Lord Jesus was this repentant thief. And one day we'll see him. And I trust that one day we'll all see him too.